Judges chapter 6. Don't forget 6 p.m. tonight. I hope you can come back. We're learning some doctrinal things again. We've been doing a lot of that on Sunday nights. Some heavy doctrine. 6 p.m., you're invited. No reason not to come back. Just give the whole day to the Lord. Judges 6. It's near the start of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Judges 6. And we'll go to, I'm going to start at verse 6 and read through verse 16. Title of the message is with, it's going to take a little thinking here. With me will fix we. With me will fix we. If you're confused, that's okay. Hopefully we'll get it later. Chapter 6, verse 6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because the Midianites and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. So God did something. It just took a minute. The process started, though. When you pray, the process starts. Doesn't always mean instantly. Sometimes, but doesn't always mean instantly. Everything's fixed. God just starts a process. And usually if you keep praying, the process gets finished. which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all them that oppressed you, and drave them from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Now, this is not the message. I want you to understand, they were doing wrong. God sent punishment to them. They prayed. God said, I heard your voice. And he sent a prophet to tell them, this is why this is happening. Okay? And I want you to understand that is God's a God of the core of the problem. That wants to fix the core of the problem. So many times you pray and God sends, he starts answering. And what he does is says, you've got to fix this thing. But many people want to pray and the answer comes and just the problem goes away. But the problem's actually there because of something that wrong with us or that we're doing. So he says, I'm going to come and reveal to you your problem because I don't want to just fix this one event of the, this one symptom of the problem. I want to fix the problem. What makes us pray is the symptom. But we'll live with that same problem forever. But God says, no, I want to get rid of the problem, so I'm going to come and work on what's really causing the problem, so not just this time, but every time. And so somebody is wasting their money on foolish and sinful things, and all of a sudden the problem comes. They say, I've got to pay my bill, or I'm going to get evicted. And oh, you call upon God, and you call the pastor. The pastor says, well, come to church Sunday, we'll talk about it. And you come to church Sunday, and the pastor preaches about your vice. It's wasting your money. You say, well, I came here to get financial help, not to get preached on my sin. No, actually, it's all part of the solution. Okay? And see, because God says, I'm sending a prophet to tell you what's wrong. And many times, we see a bump on our skin, and we say, remove the bump. And God says, well, that bump's revealing what's killing you inside. So the bump was a blessing. Because that showed you something to get treated and fixed. But if you just go ahead and just take a knife and cut out the bump and say, okay, the problem's gone, it's not gone. And so God wants to really fix things. Don't you ever get sick and tired of the same thing ruining your life over and over? And as soon as God takes away the symptom, as soon as whatever was driving you crazy or bringing you to your knees or whatever it was is gone, you go back. Fix the thing, okay? If you put on earplugs because your engine's knocking does not mean your engine is no longer knocking. Okay? That's all free. Didn't get charged. That was all that. Nothing to the message. So the Lord sent the prophet. Verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, and that pertaineth unto Joash, the Abizan, right? And the son of Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress. and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So, a few things here. Gideon is our character here, and he's the subject of the message, although we'll visit some other people in the Bible here. But Gideon is threshing wheat. The Midianites were coming in, and they were the enemies and some children from the east, just their enemies were coming in, and they were trying to starve them to death. They would attack them, but then they decided, you know what, let's just attack all their crops. And every crop they'd find, they'd burn it up. So Gideon is hiding with his crop, and he's thrashing the wheat so he can get his grain out of it, and he's hiding there. And and so he ends up, an angel ends up talking to him and giving him a message while he's there doing that. First thing I want to say is, it is not blessed outside God's will. Verse 12, it says, verse 1 and 2. And the children of Israel... And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them under the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains, and in the caves and strongholds. So I want you to understand there, God allowed the Midians to come and make them miserable. Why? Because God is trying to draw them back. We in this society want to live a sanitized life where we never suffer. We think that God is not good if he makes us suffer. Now, we're in a sin-cursed world. You're going to suffer even if you're doing the will of God. You're just, things aren't perfect in this world. You get older and bad things happen and people die. And it's just the world we live in since sin came. However, many times God lets things happen to us because it's going to draw us back to him. We don't like that. And the strange thing is because we're bitter little creatures, sometimes we get mad at God. When he says it's the best thing for you. Listen, pain. You ever been injured and not know you're injured? You didn't feel it for some reason? And then all of a sudden, you know those nerves, pain that makes you realize you're injured, makes you get the injury fixed. Okay? I was bleeding very bad one time. I didn't even realize I cut myself until somebody saw me and said, What happened to you? And there was blood all over. And I was a kid and I started panicking and screaming. It's nothing wrong with that. See, sometimes God's saying, you know, I've spoken to you. My still small voice said, stop that. Stop that. And you were having too much fun or too distracted to hear a still small voice. You didn't go to church. You weren't reading your Bible. You weren't spending time in prayer. And God said, I'm trying to speak to you quietly, but you're not getting the idea. So let me just go ahead and knock. And I stand at the door and knock. And do you hear me? And you're kind of, then by then sometimes we start ignoring. And God says, you know what? You're going to go on in your sin and you're going to miss out on eternal treasures and influencing the people you love and having a victorious Christian life and God using you in supernatural things and treasures that'll last you for trillions of years. You know what? I need to get your attention. Let me let you suffer. And then I'm going to wake you up. And all of a sudden you start suffering and say, Oh Lord, why is this happening? Oh God, I can't take this. This is so miserable. God says, that's what I wanted. That's why I don't want you to suffer, but you had to. A good parent does that with their kids. Your kid goes out. I've had times where we all went to sort of, and the kids wanted to buy some treats, and one of the kids has spent all their money on something dumb. Dad, will you buy it for me? Nope. Well, they're all going to have something. Yeah, they save their money. And you know what? Next time they don't blow their money. Do I want them not to have treats? No, I want them to. I just want them to learn a lesson. Okay? Because I love them. Because I know if you blow your money in life, you end up being a miserable person. And so, outside the will of God, Satan has more of a free attack on you. And God will say, hey, if you don't want me to bless and work in your life, and you're obviously showing that by your actions, I'll be hands off for a while. But it's not fun without me. It's empty. So God allows that. It is not blessed outside the will of God. God allowed the Midianites to come. Number two, the Lord's watch over us and his presence is there, though often unseen. Lord's watch over us and his presence is there, though often unseen. It's interesting that the way it's phrased here, and we'll read down in verse 11 and 12, is there's an angel sitting there watching Gideon, and then all of a sudden the angel appears. But the angel was there the whole time watching over him. Okay, verse 11, it says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is by Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiz, I don't know why that dad's name is that, Abizanarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." So the angel was sitting under the oak. He just thrashing the wheat. In verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." You don't understand. You know how many unseen beings are in this room right now? First of all, Jesus is here. He walks in the midst of the church, the Bible says. "Where two or more gathered, I'm in the midst of them." Now, Jesus you can't see physically, but he's here. Okay? The Bible says he's given his angels charge over us. And so there's angels all over this room. I believe there's some demons in this room probably that are attacking us and trying to get you not to listen to the message and do whatever and trying to get you to say no. They're allowed. They're allowed in our homes. Now, they're not prevalent here like if you're in a bar. They're not prevalent here. Thank you, somebody. And you know, I tell you, you go certain places, you find a whole bunch of demons. When you get really sensitive to spirits and you get discerning the spirits in your life and you sense demons and you sense the presence of God, when you get that, your Bible says you're able to discern both good and evil by the exercising thereof, Hebrews 5, you will go into places and say, "This place is filled with demons." It shocks me Christians go to them, by the way. Well, that's a whole other message. Maybe we should just stop here. And by the way, isn't it good to be in a place where the prevalent thing is Jesus and angels? Amen. That's good. And so we don't always see God there, though. We don't always see God's watching over us, taking care of us. The angel's sitting over the oak. The angel's sitting by the coffee table in your house. God's watching over you. His angels are there to protect you. But you don't always see them. You don't always feel them. I've never seen an angel. I've been in some weird places where I knew God watched over me. I've actually felt physically demonic things attack me. I've actually felt that. I take that back. One time I felt an angel guided me, grab my arm and turn me a certain direction to go somewhere. One time in my life. Didn't see anything though. But I have no doubt that God is with me and protects me and takes care of me. I've had car wrecks and things like that where it didn't really make sense how I didn't get any more injured. I've had all kinds of strange things where God, now I didn't see the angel grab me and hold me or, you know, whatever. You don't have to see. We walk by faith, not by sight. And God watches us. The angel was sitting there watching, making, because Gideon was important and Gideon was doing a certain, going to be doing a certain job. So the angel's just sitting there under the oak, just watching Gideon, making sure no demons. And by the way, I think that if God didn't protect us, I think Satan would kill us. Look at the story of Job. God said, "Okay, you can have at him now." And then all of a sudden, Job's health was attacked. Job's family was attacked. All these things. And that, by the way, can I say, that's one of the reasons I would never leave the will of God, is to keep the presence of God there to protect me and my family. I just think you're in a wicked world with a lot of demons and a lot of evil. And I just tell you, I've been in so many dangerous areas. So many. I've been in the most dangerous areas in America. And literally, I've been in the areas the police won't go into. I go where the ambulances won't go without police protection. They'll sit there and they'll wait till the police get there. They won't go in the building. I've been to those areas and everybody's shocked I'm there and everybody's seen me there shocked. I've been in dangerous areas around the world. I just want to say, there is no reason I should be here today or not have been robbed or beaten a bunch of times. I remember in Brazil one time, I was in a favela, a slum there, and I was taking pictures, and I just happened, God did it. I just happened to look back. I was wandering around witnessing to people, and I looked back, and I saw a crowd gathering, looking at me and pointing at me, and I knew they wanted my camera. And because I saw them, I was able to disappear. And off I went and went, and I didn't know my way out, but they weren't going to find me. And I think God let me see that. Now, did an angel float down and grab me and, you know, make me karate chop all of them or whatever? No, just I didn't have to see God. He just takes care of you. He lets you see what you need to see. You might say, you know, maybe I should take the back roads today on the way home. God, maybe God put that in your mind. Maybe you're going to avoid something that would happen on the other road. Just, in other words, you might not see God. You know, if God says, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world, he's there, though you might not see him. You might not have to have proof. He shows himself. Let me take it to 2 Kings chapter 6. I'll show this real clearly in the Bible. Just another good example of this besides just Gideon here. Gideon's a little discouraged, you'll see, when you get back to the story there in Judges. It's just a little farther forward to 2 Kings in the Bible. Elisha is here, and he's got an army to come get him. They're going to come take him away. And he's in his house, and the army comes, and his servant walks out, and he just starts shaking. He says, oh, no, Elijah, they're coming. Elisha, they're coming to kill us. They got a whole army out there. And he says, don't worry about it. No big deal. He says, no, there's a whole army outside the house. It's me and you, and we're not armed. And he says, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And the servant goes, one, two. Your math is bad. And so he prays and said, Lord, open his eyes and let him see into the unseen world for a second. And verse 16, and he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. This is 2 Kings 6:16. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed. 2 Kings 6, verse 17. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. It was there, you just couldn't see it. And that's the situation that he was in. Those with the perception will see it more and more. Those who are paying attention. Sometimes you'll find that God kept you alive when you shouldn't have been alive. Before you got saved. Because in his foresight, he saw you were going to serve him. I've talked to people who got saved later in life, and they said, you know, I was trying to die. I was taking more drugs than you should have been able to take and live. He said, I could not die. That's because God was merciful and kind. And he wanted them to be saved. The Lord is watch over us, and his presence is there, though often unseen. Just praise him for it, though you don't see it. Number three, the Lord's calling is often clear, sudden, and unforeseen. Back to Judges chapter 6. The Lord's calling, when he calls somebody, is often clear, very sudden, and unforeseen, unexpected. He's sitting there thrashing the wheat. He's hiding. And in verse 14, the Lord looked on him and said, notice it's the Lord now looking on him, and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? He says, I didn't know you did. Then he says, I am the least guy in this little country that's all oppressed. I am the least guy in the least family, in the least tribe of the least nation. I am the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. I'm the little guy in my family. I'm the runt. I'm the runt. My family's the runt family. And my tribe is the runt tribe of all the tribes. And my nation is weak and oppressed. How am I? What do you mean you're sending me, God? God said, you're the one I called. Now, why did he call Gideon? No idea. You never know why God calls somebody until later on. Why did God call Gideon out of all the people? Don't know. Why did he call David? Don't know. Why did he call Elijah? Don't know. Why did he call Elisha? Why did he call Samuel? Why did he call? You know, the strangest thing is the people get called. He's telling them, you got the wrong guy. Verse 15. And he said to him, oh, my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. Manasseh is a half tribe, not even a whole tribe. Lord said to him, surely I'll be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites. You know, the Lord's calling is just clear. I don't think when God's going to call you to the ministry, let's say, I don't think you have to pray and say, God, do you want me to be in the ministry? I'm going to pray about this and pray about this. God just says, I'm calling you, and he'll just get your attention when it's time. You'll just know. God says, you're called. You're called to the ministry. I was 16 years old, walking in a park. God called me to ministry. I said, you got to be kidding me. Me? I mean, I was not a good Christian yet. I was full of my old worldliness, had a can of Copenhagen in my back pocket. I was just barely knew any of the Bible. I didn't know I could ever teach the Bible to anybody. I didn't think I was talented. I never thought I could ever be a leader. I was introverted and backward. And God said, yep, be a preacher. I said, okay, boy, you're going to be surprised at who I am. But you know what? God called me for a reason. I didn't know I could do anything. I could preach or teach or do anything for God or lead. I didn't know if I was going to be a pastor. But God's calling is just sudden, and he just says, you. Me? He usually calls people who say, me? So he can get the glory. He doesn't like calling people who say, yeah, I knew you were going to call me. That's why I'm so amazing. That's not who God's going to call. If they think God's lucky to have them, God's not going to get glory from them. They're going to tell me, look what I did. God says, I'm not interested in that. I don't want you to steal my glory. And so God calls those who are surprised. God calls somebody, and he just taps in their heart, and God just does it. It's just the Lord. The Bible's full of people like that. Moses at the burning bush, they're not going to listen to me. No. Isaiah, Lord, I can't go on. I'm not able to speak. Jeremiah, I'm but a child. They won't listen to me. You can go on and on. People in the Bible are surprised when God calls them. The Lord's calling is often clear, sudden, and unforeseen. When God taps in your heart and says, I want you to go be a full-time servant, a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, he'll just tell you and he'll say, whoa. And he usually surprises you because he usually uses people who would be surprised so they'll depend on him. They'll know they need him. Next, the Lord sees your greatness and what you could do, even if you don't. Judges chapter 6. We are back there, excuse me. Judges chapter 6. The Lord sees your greatness and what you could do, even if you don't. In verse 11, the angel of the Lord sat under the oak tree. I'm not going to read it again because I don't like that name. Verse 12, he's trying to hide from the Midianites, it says. In verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. He called Gideon, and said, Lord's with you, you're a mighty man of valor. And Gideon says, I don't think God's with us, and I'm not a mighty man of valor. Gideon didn't see in him what God already saw. If the Lord be with us, he says in verse 13, then why has all this happened to us? And where is God? And the Lord said, go in this thy might, thou shalt save thy people, verse 14. He said, Lord, how can I save them? And he continues to say, God, I do not see how this will happen. You know what's great? God has foresight. He can see ahead. He sees the future. And he sees what we can be. You're not an accident. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalm 103 says. Isaiah 1, I formed you in your mother's womb. Isaiah 6 and Jeremiah 1 say that. God says, I formed you, I made you. You're not an accident. I want you to understand, you have a greatness in you. You have a mighty thing you can do for God in you. You might not have any idea what it is yet. You might be saying, me? I just got over my hangover. What are you talking about? However, you're not laughing, so that must be true. you say, I don't think I can do anything great. I'm 68 years old, or I'm sick, or I have these health issues. You don't understand. God sees what you could do. You see your limitations. And you know your limitations, but God's not talking things in the natural. There's something to you. There is some great work for you. All the weird things about me that I used to think were weird, I found extremely useful for what I do. And actually, I was made very well for a certain little niche that God had for me. And I had this weird niche of pastoring here and in an international ministry and doing certain things. And what I do, I was designed to do. I'm made just right. God saw that. I didn't see that when I got called to ministry. I didn't know I could teach the Bible. When I got in front of a crowd, I shook like a leaf, lost my breath, was weak. My knees could hardly stay straight. All those things. And I thought, no way. But God could see what I could be. And he didn't call me by accident. God sees Gideon as a mighty man of valor. But Gideon didn't even see it in himself. You have greatness in you that God made in you. The problem is abuse and bad parents and failures make us say, I can't do anything right. And looking in the natural and looking in the earthly things. And you will never find the amazing things you can do until you do the will of God for a while. I'm not talking, I'm going to get right with God, I'm going to serve God, and it lasts for 2 weeks. You're never going to find what you were made for. You're just going to think, I'm strange and I'm weird, and I don't know why I'm here. But when you serve God for year after year, all of a sudden God starts filling you in those holes that only you are made to fill, and nobody else will ever fill if you don't do it. You are made for a job. You are made well. God sees your greatness. God sees what you could do. God sees amazing things he designed in you. He said, you, you can be used of God to do supernatural things. Don't get messed up with insecurity or pride. I used to play with magnets a lot, and magnets are cool. And you get a couple powerful magnets, and you just tinker around with them. I used to put them on a table, and it'd be fun to try to, you put them in the right, wrong direction, and they push apart from each other. And I don't know why. I'd try to scoot them apart from by the one. I'd hold the one and scoot the other one apart. But if you did it just wrong, it'd flip around and grab it and lock onto it. And it was kind of a challenge to do that. Or sometimes I'd take the two magnets and I'd try to get them as close as I could without them touching each other. And if you got too close, thunk, they would hit each other. And that's the way kind of the human mindset is. There's these two imbalances that humans get. And the one imbalance is this terrible imbalance of pride. I'm so great. I'm so smart. I'm so gifted. And secular psychology tells you to talk about how good you are and how wonderful you are and how smart you are and how talented you are. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about positive self-esteem in a secular way. And the other side is this insecure, I can't do anything right, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, everybody's looking at me, everybody's laughing at me, I can't do anything right, God can never use me, I'm an accident, I'm not good at anything. When you are good at things, and everybody isn't looking at you and laughing at you, but you got that insecurity, maybe it was abusive parents, or maybe it was some experiences in school, or whatever the situation is, in either case, you're wrong. You are a sinner saved by grace who deserves nothing but hell, just like all of us are. You're a person that it's by the Lord's mercies you're not consumed. You're a person who without God can do nothing. But a person who with God, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. You are this incomplete person that when God comes in and completes your life, you can do amazing things and you're amazing. And you go around your life without God and you try to pump yourself up and feel good and then and you put in this good front of you all got it all together, then you go alone and cry. Because you got one of the two things wrong, self-pride, pushing yourself up, lifting yourself up, trying to not need God, trying to find something you're good at, even though it's not the will of God, but you're good at it and everybody praises you for it, and that's your meaning in life. That's why a lot of athletes are so messed up and child stars are so messed up because they got something to be noticed and felt good about until it disappeared. And they got older. Then they're addicts and wasting their money and messed up and everything. So they numbed, not finding what God made them for. Got a bunch of people who are depressed and miserable and hopeless and feel like they can't do anything, and they just started to medicate it out, legally or illegally, because they don't got that balance. You are made to do amazing things in the will of God. That's what you've got to find. God saw Gideon's greatness. And right now you say, well, I'm too old, too late. No. Moses wandered for 40 years before he found the will of God. He was 80 when God called him, when he started delivering Israel. Okay, It's any point when you say, yes, Lord, God said, okay, I knew you weren't going to do it till now. Now I've got this big job for you now, because he knows when you're going to say yes. And he has great jobs for you. You get messed up with insecurity or pride, and you flip around and you go to insecure, or you flip around and you go to proud, because God's got this delicate balance of human egos and human pride and human insecurities, because we're very frail in some ways. Just realize, I am made special. God has a plan for me. I can do great things for God. If the Lord is with me. Next, listen to this phrase carefully, and I'll have to explain it to you. You'll have to listen carefully to get it. And this is really what the whole message is. With you is enough, even if he is not with us. With you is enough, even if he is not with us. If you know how good that is. Look at verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Who's God with? One person, you, thee. Thee is you. Gideon. Okay? Look at verse 13. Look at Gideon's response. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told of us? Saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. We're talking about different people here. You know what? Gideon was right. The Lord was not with us. He had forsaken Israel. Let him be punished. But he's with Gideon. And when God is with you, you can impact the us. But you do not have to worry so much about the us. You got to worry about the you. But a lot of people get discouraged about the us, like Gideon was, and said, no, it's hopeless, it's bad, because God is not with them. My family is so messed up, it can never be changed. How about you? My family is so messed up, they're never going to change anyway. I'm going to be alone, and you're focusing on them. God can be with you, and the us will be okay. But if you get so discouraged with the us that you cannot get the you right, the us will never get fixed, because the you is going to fix the us. Okay? God with you is enough, even if he is not with us. Verse 14, and the Lord looked at him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Gideon, I'm talking to you. I want you right. You're the guy. You're the one. He said, I'm not able. I'm not worthy. Verse 16, the Lord said to him, surely I will be with thee. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. God plus one equals a majority. God plus one equals a majority, because God's infinite. We think we need numbers. We think we need everybody to agree with us. We think we need to have everything. We think we need a bunch of money. We think we need all these things, and we think, oh, someday if everything falls together. No, how about you just get God and you're fine? God's got all the money. God's got all the power. God is a majority. He just needs someone to be with to change everything. And he said, I'm with you. God's with you. And you're going to do this. Well, God's not with us. No, I didn't say I was with Israel. I'm not with Israel. I'm with you. You're going to change Israel. Me and you is enough to do it. I just need you. I called you. People often worry about the mess of family. And the church, the mess of the church, not so much here, but the mess of their nation. And they get discouraged and say, well, you know, and it keeps them from getting right. You get right. Worry about getting yourself right. And see what God can do. How many times over the years have I taught this to somebody and say, you know, my family is so hard, they're so cold, my wife is so this, my kids are so this, my this is so this, and they're so bad, my mom and dad, and they're so bad. So listen, you go to church, read your Bible, pray, get close to God. Let's just see what happens to them. Well, no, you don't understand. They're never going to change, Pastor. No, it's going to be me alone forever. Stop. You'll be shocked when you get right that you were that key God needed to unlock all them. And pretty soon, guess what happens? Pastor, you're not going to believe this. My mom is coming to church with me Sunday. Pastor, I mean, you got to be careful preaching with her. She's... But, and by the way, don't bother telling me who's coming. It ain't going to change the message. Okay? Heads up. Don't matter. Don't matter who's coming. President Obama comes in Sunday, ain't going to change the message. If the Pope comes in Sunday, ain't going to change the message. Don't matter. The message is a message. Whatever God gives, we preach. But when I say, all of a sudden, Pastor, you won't believe it. My brother in Albuquerque, he went to church this week and he told me he got saved. I can't believe it. He's mocking me. He made fun of me when I got saved. Now he got saved. I can't believe it. Yeah. God used you, didn't he? No, it had nothing to do with me. He was not. No, you understand. God is with you. And you're connected. With you, but the problem is most people are so busy looking at the us, they don't fix themselves. They're too discouraged. And if they'd ever get themselves right... Sometimes you have to separate from somebody to reach them. Why? Because you can never get right around them. And since you're never going to have the power of the Spirit upon you, and never going to get blessed in the presence of God on you because they are dragging you down, once you get blessed, God will reach them because you have the power of God on you. But you need to get away from them to get right. You say, but I've got to be with them to keep them. No. Poison water. Mix poison water and clean water. You do not get clean water, two cups of clean water. So sometimes you're going to reach them. You're going to be the one. God's going to put his blessing on you and the Spirit of God's going to dwell on you so powerfully that they're just going to come under conviction. They're going to be saved. Great. But first you got to get that way. A fireman has got to make sure he's not on fire before he's healthy enough to go save somebody. If a medic goes and a bomb blows up in the foxhole and he looks down and his artery's squirting blood, if he goes starts rescuing his other guys, he's not going to rescue anybody. He's going to die and they're all hopeless. If he can stop his bleeding, then he can go help them. Take heed of thyself and of the doctrine, Timothy, it says. You've got to get yourself right. You've got to get yourself right. It's going to be the Lord's power anyway. Look, I am with thee. Look at chapter 6, verse 34. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. Why? It was God's power that was going to do it anyway. God was going to do it in the end anyway. It was the Lord's power. The story goes like this. Gideon, he says, okay, God, I'll do it. And so he calls the nation together and said, we're going to fight the Midianites. And they said, okay. And a big crowd of tens of thousands came, and they came to Gideon, And he put him through a test, and he said, run a bunch of this marathon, and you'll run across a creek. And when they ran across a creek, he just noted how many people would kneel down and drink out of the water on their knees and just drink it in. Other people would grab with their hand a cupful and get a drink and run on. 300 people, the 10,000 of them went through and got on their knees and drank the water out, and 300 of them reached down and just cupped it and drank the water out. And God said, okay, separate those two, and said, okay, good, I have 9,700. You know, he said, I have those. He says, no, keep the 300 and send the rest. To go to war against a huge army. The Bible says they couldn't number the army. It was so many people. It says, yep, I only need 300. Gideon says, okay, everybody else go home. We'll take care of it, us and the 300 guys here. So Gideon goes. They take a pitcher. They take a torch. They surround the Midianites at night in the valley there. They surround them. And in the middle of the night, they start breaking the pitcher, shatter them. They light the torches. They sing Sword of Lord to Gideon, start clanging and making noises. The Midianites wake up, and God turns the Midianites' soldiers against each other. And the guy says, hey, who are you? Slash. Hey, you came me. And all of a sudden, they all started fighting each other. They all started killing each other and took off running. Who did it? God. By Gideon. Because Gideon did what God wanted him to do. And everybody else was transformed. As soon the whole nation came and chased all the Midianites out, and the nation was free because God was with him. Though he wasn't with them, he became with them. It started with the one. Do not get so discouraged with people that you love and hopeless and that you cannot make sure that you are right and have faith and have joy. And not believe that God can do great things. As Matthew 7:5 says, take the sliver out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly enough to take the sliver out of your brother's eye. You got to get yourself right before you can fix somebody else. And by the way, I want to say some people, their family will never be reached because they cannot get God's blessing on them because they are so discouraged and they won't reach them. Your God has made you a missionary to people, your nation, your area, your people, whoever it is. Getting the Lord with you often just clears up the whole mess eventually. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. So let me make that statement. 1 Samuel is a little farther forward. Let me make that statement again. 1 Samuel 17. With you is enough, even if he is not with us. You say, this church isn't all it should be. Good, you become all you should be and get God's blessing on you. And when you walk in, well, the presence of God with us through you. You know what people who fail as Christians are so busy doing? Look at them. Ooh, look what she's doing. Look what he's doing. Look at remember when you're pointing, you got three fingers pointing back at yourself. Okay? I marvel. A church stopped witnessing, and I know the church and the people involved. And the brother of one of the people in that church told me the story, and I know the guy, his brother, well. And the church has stopped witnessing, and this brother called up and said, you know, it's not the same here. Nobody's witnessing the church anymore. And he says, that's too bad. Why aren't you witnessing? He says, well, I'm talking about the church. There's nobody else going soul winning. Nobody's going. I said, yeah, you're one of the people in the church, right? So one would be going if you would go, right? You get so busy looking at others. Why don't you just say, I need to get God's blessing. I got some areas of work under myself. I need God's power in my life, and I bet you God would influence my neighborhood. Listen, we've had neighbors. Neighbors. I'm talking hardcore, bad stuff, neighbors. Just the worst, they travel with the worst bands in the world. Okay, that's rough people. And they use herbs for other uses than I do. And so a lot, and all kinds of things. You know, we've just been there and loved them and been Christians. You know, one by one, they're starting to come to the Lord. The roughest one just said to my wife, you know what? I found that life is so empty. I think you guys, his mom told us, she said this. He said, what the Byrams have is what I need. I wasn't going to reach him by lecturing him. Okay? The presence of God and the joy of the Lord, it just makes a difference when we get right. It just clears up the whole mess. Many times. 1 Samuel 17, watch the nation's in trouble. Everybody's afraid. Goliath is mocking everybody. And verse 22 of 1 Samuel 17. And David, let me go a little further down. Verse 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, a Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines. And he spake according to the same words. He mocked God. And David heard them, and all of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were sore afraid. And the man of Israel said, have you seen this man? He's huge. He's mocking us. Wait a minute. All the soldiers of the nation are standing there afraid. God is being mocked. The nation's being mocked. Nothing's happening. Nobody's going to fight him. Everybody's afraid. All the soldiers are afraid, right? David could have said, you bunch of wimps, what's wrong with you people? Look at you. You should be soldiers. Bunch of wimps. Look at you shaking at that. Somebody should be doing something. You guys are terrible. You guys are not. It's just, what a wimpy army we have. We're a loser country. I'm going home. That's not what David did. David was right. Had the presence of God, said, somebody go kill him. No, I'm not going to. Okay, I'll do it. Why? Because he was right. Watch what the reaction. He goes down, kills Goliath. You know the story. But watch the reaction. These scared people. Verse 52. 51, David cuts off his head. 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they came to the valley and the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down in the way of them. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and they spoiled their tents. Now, wait a minute. All the soldiers became courageous and started fighting and won the war. Why? David. I know the Lord. I know it's the Lord. But understand, the one had God with him and everybody else got right. And got to be good soldiers. Why? Because the one. The Lord being with you. Don't lose hope because of them. Get you right and realize you plus God equals a majority. I'll give you some verses here. Isaiah, I'm just going to give you a couple verses. You don't have to turn to them, but I'll read them to you. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Let me read you 2 Timothy chapter. These are just, God's going to be with you. Don't worry, even though you're alone, you're fine. Even though nobody's with you, even though you feel like you're the only one, it's okay. God's with you. And God, if you will be pleased God and do what he wants, Gideon, we'll take care of Israel. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid their charge. Now notice, he does not dwell on the people who left him. On the people that left him. He took a stand for God, and he said, him and the other believers were there, and they said, Jesus Lord, isn't he guy? Guys? They all fled. But he does not dwell on the them. All men forsook me. Only I was taking the stand. He does not dwell on them. Look at the next verse. 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And by me, the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me out of every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He is not worried, is he? He's not worried because them aren't with him. I know it's bad English. They is not with him. He's not worried about that. Why? Because God's with him. And he says, God used me to do it all. And you know what? God's going to deliver me from everything. Me and God are a majority. God and I are a majority. I'm not worried. I'm not worried about the them. You worry about the them. You sit here and talk about the people who abandoned you and the people who mistreated you and spend your whole life looking back at people and being angry at people and look what they did. And my life's ruined because of them. Your life will be ruined because of you. Because you won't stop looking at them. God has been good to you. He loves you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You can do mighty things for God if you quit looking at them and say, I'm going to serve God and get the presence of God. And when you do that and you get the joy of the Lord and the peace of God that passes understanding, you hum through life with a happy song, though they're all in chaos. Amen. And pretty soon God brings some of them around. God can do great things still, but you've got to get the hand of God. And you'll just find if you just do the things you should do, pray, read your Bible, go to church, reach sinners, love people, have the joy of the Lord, walk in the Spirit, do the right kind of things you should be doing, you will find that you're just fine, even if you're by yourself. Because you're not by yourself. The Lord's with you. With you is enough, even if he is not with us. Gideon did it. Nation came back to God. Nation had the revival. Nation had the great things happen. They got the victory. I know they went back eventually, but in Gideon's day, for many, many years, God is with Israel. Why? Because God was with Gideon, and Gideon accepted that and used and did what he was supposed to do. I keep myself busy enough. trying to keep myself straight. Now, praise the Lord, God lets me help other people when I'm right. By the way, I don't help people when I'm not right. When I'm right, God can do amazing things with me because he's amazing. And him and me equal majority. It doesn't matter if I was 2 feet tall or what I was or if I was, it doesn't matter who I am or what my talents are or what my IQ is. God plus you equals majority. Just make sure you work on what you need to work on and you do what God wants you to do and see where God's adventure takes you. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you we get to learn how great you are, how much you can do with a person who's right with you. I pray today, Lord, that somebody in this room that isn't saved would come to you and know what the joy it is to be born again and have their sins forgiven. I pray for salvation today for somebody. I pray for some people who feel lonely and discouraged and maybe look around them and say, I've messed this up and they're messed up, and they would stop and get right with you and just spend some time with you. Lord, we're not to be self-centered and selfish, and it's not all about us. It's about them reaching them still, but Lord, we've got to be strong. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, to get these things. I pray you'd realize that you're also watching out for us that we don't see you. I pray you'd realize that you made us just right. If we'll serve you, we'll find these things. Lord, these truths in this chapter, and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. May these ring in our ears this week, and may we get victory. And may we be used by you in a mighty way to reach us. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.